We have come to the end of another year, and we are closer to the return of Jesus. It's not just the last hour, like John says. We are in the last minutes, we could say, before the return of Jesus. And we have tasted of the goodness of the Lord in this past year. I'm sure that not one of us could say that we have not tasted His goodness. God has been good to us, and He wishes to lead us on. I want you to look at a word that has come to my own heart in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. These are Moses' closing words, you know, to God's people. And what he says at the end, he says, I show you two ways, the blessing and the curse, life and death. Choose life that you may live. Under the new covenant, there is no curse because Jesus took that curse for us in his body on Calvary. It's life. It's life that we are called to. And as we read this, I want you to think of the promise that God made under the old covenant. He promised them a land, something physical, something material, and called the promised land, the land of Canaan. Under the new covenant, it's a life that God has called us to, which is far, far greater than anything that you and I can receive on this earth, the life of God. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, and you know, Moses begins there. He says in verse 1, you shall therefore love the Lord your God, and always keep His charge, His statutes, His ordinances, and His commandments. And he reminds them of what God did in the wilderness, and of all that happened, and those who rebelled in verse 6, Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But your own eyes, verse 7, have seen all the great work of the Lord which He did. You shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross to possess, so that you may prolong your days on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. And we can read that as a life flowing with milk and honey. That's the life of God that God gives to us under the new covenant. Verse 10, for the land, we could say the life into which you are entering to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden. You know, the picture there in the villages in Israel in those days, when they had a foot pump, it was a very laborious process to bring water up from the well and water their fields. And then that's how they lived in Egypt. They had to use a foot pump. And today you see these hand pumps, you know, by these bore wells. You've got to pump and pump and you get a little bit of water. And that's the picture there. But he says in verse 11, the land into which you're about to cross to possess, a land of hills and valleys, drinks water from the rain of heaven. That's the life. Like I said, you read that as a life that God promises us under the new covenant. You know, a life into which you're about to cross, if you've already crossed and possess it, praise God, is a land of hills and valleys, drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land or a life which the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning even to the end of the year. And that's the life that God has called you and me to live on this earth. A life that He cares for. And His eyes are on it from, He says, the eyes of the Lord are on it from the beginning to the end of the year. And many times we read about the eyes of the Lord. You know, the first instance in, it says in Genesis chapter 6 verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely His. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, it says, watching the evil and the good. And so the eyes of the Lord are on you and me, my brothers and sisters, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And there's not one day that He's taken His eyes off us. Not one day that He's taken His eyes off the life that He's promised you and me, that we are to partake of under the new covenant. And I want you to see that that's our birthright. The life that God has called us to live on this earth is our birthright. Just like God had promised them a land, a physical land, and God wanted them to possess that land, so also God has given us His life under the new covenant that you and I are to possess and partake of. Not just forgiveness of sins and take us to heaven, but a life in God which is real. John says, you know, we touched and handled the word of life. And if we are just living a very dry, drab, mediocre life where I know my sins have been forgiven and I've repented and I've given my heart and life to Jesus, if that's all that you're living for, it's a very, very low standard of life that you're living. Our birthright is the life of God. Just like under the old covenant, God said that He would give them the land of Canaan. And that was His promise. And we are called to possess this life that God has given us. We have to lay hold of it. We don't get it automatically. But a seed has been sown in our hearts when we come to Christ in repentance and faith. That seed that brings life is sown in your heart and mine. And we have to let it grow and we possess it. Paul wrote to Timothy, in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Take hold, he says, lay hold of the life to which you have been called to. And like the land of Canaan, like the promised land, it is a life flowing with milk and honey. That's the life that God has called us to, a life that we can be seated above in heavenly places. We don't have to be discouraged, we don't have to go down, no matter what happens. The life of God is in us. If I've laid hold of that life, I will, whatever circumstances, whatever situations, I'll always ride over them. Because that's the life of God that must be there in you and me. And here it says it's a land flowing with milk and honey, hills and valleys, and the enemies that they face, some as huge as giants. And that's how it is in this life that God has called us to. There are enemies. The enemy is not flesh and blood. The enemies that come forth from our flesh, all the unchrist-like things. And we can overcome because Jesus has defeated all those enemies on the cross. And God said to them, He says, I am leading you into this land and I'll drive out the nations before you. I'll drive out your enemies. But their hearts were hard. They didn't respond to God. There was unbelief and they couldn't enter in that generation. And God forbid, my brothers and sisters, that all that we have heard in 2013, all that we have heard ever since we came into this church, that I live a very low standard of life. God has called us to more than that. That there's a life in God that He promises us. By faith we are to possess it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can overcome these giants. We can overcome the enemies which come from our flesh. All that is unchrist-like, we can get rid of. How has it been in 2013? Has it got better than all the unchrist-like things which were there in 2012? I got some victory. And I'm pressing on. I look forward to 2014 that it's going to be better. Because that's the life that God has called us to. We saw that a few Sundays ago. The better things under the new covenant. Hebrews speaks about the better things, a better covenant, a better life. And I want you to really see this and be gripped so that you look forward with hope for 2014. And as we draw nearer to the return of Jesus, that we don't miss out on this. How much have you and I possessed of this life that God has called us to in 2013? Oh, have have you been wandering about in the wilderness like these Israelites through unbelief and disobedience? And no, it cannot be. I've always been like this. I don't think. I've always been irritable. I've always been angry. I've always been defeated by sexual lust. I've always been defeated by impure thoughts. You wander around. And is that how it is? Has been in 2013? Or has it got better? Because God has called us to better things. We need to look back and take stock, like we heard from Brother Newton last Sunday, to take stock of our lives. How has it gone in 2013? Will we determine that 2014 is going to be better? I know in God's eyes there's no, you know, end of the year and a new year. We live, you know, because of time and space. And so we have calendars and we come to the 31st of December and then the 1st of January. But in God's eyes, there's no time. In eternity, there's no time. I hope you realize that. We won't have watches there. There's no time. We are not prisoners of time. We are called to eternity. We are citizens of heaven. But we are on this earth and we are limited by time and space. And so, it's a good thing when we come to the end of the year, like we heard, you know, they have stopped taking. They see how it's gone. Have I made a profit in 2013 or has there been a loss? And as you and I look back on our lives, have we gained in 2013 or have we suffered loss? It's a good thing to ask ourselves. Have we been wandering about in the wilderness through unbelief and hardness of heart and think, no, it cannot be. I don't think I can. It's okay for others. It's okay for brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. No, my brothers and sisters, I want you to really see this. That in 2014 that we see that God has called you and me to life. A life in Him. That's our birthright. And nobody can take it away from us unless, like Esau, we surrender it. We surrender it for something earthly and material and physical. I pray that God will really help us. Paul says then, Philippians in chapter 3, a word that we have seen many times and we've been reminded about. He says, brethren, Philippians 3, verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, this life, Paul's talking, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's how it is. Paul says he was so gripped with this life. He says, I haven't yet attained it, but he said, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. And that's what I want to call us to do, to forget what lies behind. We learn from our mistakes. We've made many mistakes. We've done foolish things. We've slipped up. We've failed. We've sinned. But let's learn from them, but forget the things that are behind. I've often told young people and older people who have failed, who have humbled themselves and repented, forget, put the past behind and look forward to something brighter. Look forward to what God wants to do in your life, the plan that He has for you. Okay, you failed. You're not going to be wallowing around in it. When you get knocked down on the road, you don't sit there and say, oh, I've fallen down, and you remain there. You'll be knocked out for good. But I get up again, put the past behind, forgetting what lies behind, says Paul, and reaching forward to what lies ahead. You know, that's a picture of an athlete, to reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call of God. God says, come, lay hold of this life. Paul was telling Timothy, lay hold of eternal life to which you have been called to, and you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Many of you have testified. Many of you have testified, and just because you've slipped out doesn't mean that you give up. This is your birthright and mine, the life of God. And that's what God has called you and me to take hold of, to partake of, the life that He's called us to live on this earth. And I want you to see the second thing here, that the life that God has called us to is not a life of toil and strain. If 2013 has been, you say, oh, this Christian life is so difficult, something wrong. There's something wrong in the way you started. It's not a life of toil and strain. We see that there from Deuteronomy, what we just read. The land in which you are entering, verse 10, to possess, it is not like the land of Egypt. Egypt is a picture, you know, where we lived in sin, we were defeated, from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden, like I said, you know, a hand pump existence. But the land, or the life that God calls us to possess, into which you are about to cross, you know, Moses says to God's people, to possess a land of hills and valleys, drinks water from the rain of heaven. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. That I can be refreshed, not just one time in my life when I look back and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I hope many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hope you have received the rain from heaven. Not a one time thing, but all through, as we look back on 2013, can you say that the rain of heaven has fallen on my life and God has watered this life? I'm not living a life where, you know, it's so difficult. And I'm trying and I'm striving. That's not the life that God has called you and me to live on this earth. I hope you see it. If you're striving and toiling and struggling, keeping laws and commandments, trying to live by a code of conduct, to fit into this church or to be acceptable, something's wrong. You need to go back and see how you started. You need to check the foundation. Because the life God has called us to, it's not a hard, toilsome life. John says his commandments are not burdensome. And it says the eyes of the Lord, your God, are always on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. We come to the end of the year. We got another year, another 365 days ahead of us. Do we think that God is not concerned? A lot of things that you and I don't know what's going to happen in 2014. Is God not concerned? God says here that his eyes are upon this life, upon you and me, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And I want you to look at a word, keep a finger there, and turn to Isaiah in chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. We learn some things from here about this life and what hinders us from attaining to this life. Isaiah 58, and you know, it begins with, cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression. And the question they ask God is, why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? So they said, we have fasted, we have prayed, but nothing seems to happen. You know, I'm still the same kind of person. Why have we humbled ourselves? And we have heard in this church that we humble ourselves. And I have humbled myself, but people take advantage of me. And God has an answer for them. Excuse me. He says, you do not fast, verse 4, the end of it, like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man or a woman to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? And this is what God says. Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, your gloom will become like midday, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. It says you'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. What a picture there. See, God was saying to his people, there's something wrong. I'm not interested in your fasting and in your long prayers. Why are you doing these things? He says, this is the fast I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to let the oppressed go, the oppressing people, and break every yoke. And I believe that's what God calls many of us to do, my brothers and sisters. He says, if you stop pointing the finger and speaking of wickedness, gossiping about somebody else's failure, somebody else's sin, and somebody doesn't measure up to your expectation. This is the fast God says he chooses. You fast this way, and I will hear you. When you call, the Lord says, I will answer. When you cry, I will say, here I am. Your light will rise in the darkness. What is that yoke that needs to be broken, my brothers and sisters, in your life and mine, as we enter to 2014? The pointing of the finger and speaking about others, judging others, passing judgment on others, criticizing others. They don't meet up to your expectation. And if you're clever enough to disguise it cleverly, because, you know, that's not accepted in CFC. We've heard about backbiting. We've heard about gossip. But we do it. And what do we expect? Can we ever enter into that life? Will we determine that as we enter into 2014, Lord, I'm going to break every yoke. Start in our own homes, my brothers and sisters. The yoke that we put upon our partners, upon our spouses, upon our children, upon brothers and sisters in the church. It's not the yoke of Jesus. And the reason we put that yoke upon others is because we are carrying a yoke that is not the yoke of Jesus. Because the yoke of Jesus is easy. We are carrying a burden that's not the burden of Jesus, because the burden of Jesus is light. And so we put that yoke on others, and we put that burden on others, because that's the yoke and that's the burden that you're carrying. Break it. Decide that you will break it. And all that God promises will come true there. And he says there, is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house? You know, to be sympathetic with others. To be merciful. To be merciful with those who live with us 24/7. So easy to get hard, to become hard. And that's why it doesn't go well. And that's why when we pray, God doesn't hear us. Because God says, if you do these things, you break every yoke. When you call, I will answer. As we look back on this year and we wonder why we have not received answers some of our prayers, this could be one of the reasons. We are putting a yoke upon others, and usually it's those who live with us, who are closest to us. Our wives, your husbands, your children. God says, I want you to fast. Will you determine, even if you don't fast in 2014, physically, abstaining from food, will you and I determine, this is the fast in 2014 I'm going to undertake. I'm not going to put a yoke upon others. I will break every yoke. That's what the Lord says. This is the fast I choose. It's there, very clear. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Give freedom. Give liberty to others to be themselves. You may have light on many things and somebody else does not have light on. Be merciful. Be sympathetic. Be empathetic. Empathetic means you enter into the feelings of others. We don't know why that person behaved, why he said this, why she said that. There must be some reason. We don't know what they're going through. That's what God says there. Let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke. And be concerned for others. Enter into the feelings of others. Stop pointing the finger. Stop talking about other failures. People's failures you know and see, which are so glaring to you. And you don't know that you have failures and weaknesses that you don't see, but others see. Stop pointing the finger, the Lord says. Break every yoke. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we will lay hold of this life that God has called us to. I'm not speaking theory here. I thank God that I've tasted it. I thank God I've taken seriously what I've heard in this church to not judge others, to give others freedom, to live according to the light that they have. My own family members, to give them freedom. I'm a happy man. It was not like this before. I was hard, I was unmerciful. I put a yoke upon those who lived with me 24/7. But I've broken that yoke and I still seek to break it. Every time I see it come up. You know, in the Living Bible, it says this word in Isaiah 58 verse 9, if you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations from out of the past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything. Oh, we want some brothers and sisters in the church to fix things. Not physically. There are a lot of, we have some very good brothers and sisters take care of all the physical things that need fixing. I'm talking about the spiritual things that need fixing in others' lives. We can become like that. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, bring people back, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. Then your light will rise in darkness. To take it seriously, my brothers and sisters, I've decided to take it seriously. God has promised your light will rise in the darkness. You will not have gloom. You will never be discouraged. We will live under an open heaven. So let us decide that we are going to do that in 2014. Let's decide in these next 2 days, in this meeting itself, that I decide I'm going to break that yoke. And you know it more than others, or even the person on whom you put that yoke, who can be very bearing, doesn't say anything, and take it all humbly and quietly. But will you decide in your heart this morning, Lord, I'm going to break that yoke that I put upon my wife. I'm going to break that yoke you put upon your husband, sisters. I'm going to break that yoke that I put upon my children. I'm going to let the oppressed go free. Then all that is written there will come true, my brothers and sisters. And that's a good thing to take stock of as we look back on 2013. The yokes I've put upon others. No wonder it's not gone well. No wonder I've not laid hold of this life that God has called me to. But if you decide this morning, on this 29th of December 2013, Lord, I am not going to put a yoke. I want you to remove the yoke which I have on myself, which is not your yoke, Lord, because your yoke is an easy yoke. I want you to lift the burden that I am carrying that weighs me down, makes me so discouraged, wants me to give up, because it's not your burden, Lord. Your burden is light. And I'm going to break that yoke that I put upon others. Lord, I determine in my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. And only the Holy Spirit can help you do that, my brothers and sisters. Only the Holy Spirit can set you and me free. I want to say that to you. You've heard it. May I never tire to say that to you, that if you've not desperately sought the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then something is wrong. Because you will have a yoke that is not the yoke of Jesus. You'll put a yoke upon others that is going to be heavy. And you'll never be free of pointing the finger, criticizing. In 2014, it'll become worse. But if we determine this morning, Lord, I want to break every yoke. And the Lord says, He will continually, verse 11, the Lord will continually guide you. Continually guide you. Satisfy your desire in scorched places. You'll never get dry. And give strength to your bones. You'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Freshness. Every day in 2014, it'll be freshness. Determine that. Not one gloomy day, not one day of discouragement. Freshness. Even when we fail and fall, that we get up again, repent, humble ourselves, and break every yoke. And if there's a resolution you want to make for 2014, here's one. Lord, I'm not going to put a yoke upon others, especially my own family members. I'm going to break that yoke. I'm going to do it before I leave this meeting this morning. I tell you, you'll really have a happy, glorious new year, my brothers and sisters. And I can say, thus says the Lord. That is God's calling for us. That's the life that God calls us to. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman who was weighed down with her sin and her disillusion. You know, you can be disillusioned because of what you see in others. Thank God, I am free from that. If you're gripped, if you see the glory of Jesus, you'll never be disillusioned. No matter how it is in others. No matter what I may see around me. Jesus said to this woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, that's John 4, you would ask for living water. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, you would ask for living water. And I want to say this to many of you this morning sitting here. If you knew the gift of God, the Holy Spirit that God has promised us, is available for us, power, and you reject it, you are more concerned about other things, and that has not been your priority, that's not been your desperation, that Lord, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. How has it been? 2013, you've heard many times, my brothers and sisters, but can you come to the end and you have no assurance that you this morning you cannot say, I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus has met me. Jesus has given me this living water. Jesus said to this woman in John 4 verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. I don't need a hand pump existence. I don't need a foot pump. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. And not just a well, but a river. John chapter 7 verse 38-39, Jesus crying, let him who is thirsty come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And I thank God, my brothers and sisters, that that river has begun to flow in my life because I believed. I was not going to accept my condition. I was not going to accept the kind of person I was. And I can say it's gone better in 2013. And it'll get better in 2014. And I want to say that is for you. That's your birthright. It's not something you struggle and strive for. It's not a life of toil and striving, but it's a life, you know, like Moses said to his people, a land that flows, a land of milk and honey. Yes, there will be difficulties. There will be hills and valleys. There will be enemies. But those enemies have all been conquered on the cross of Calvary. So I need never give up. So when we enter into this life that God has promised, we've begun to partake. I hope that that's been our experience in 2013. No, if not, that at least as you enter 2014, Lord, I want to partake of this life. I want to lay hold of the life of God. The other thing that God says through Moses, they go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16. He says, beware, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Where we began. So watch, beware that your hearts are not deceived and you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. We must not let other things of this life take priority, or take the place of the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God says all these things will be added to you. And in Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 18, it speaks of Jesus being the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. And if we have it right, my brothers and sisters, that we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, and that Jesus has first place in everything, not in some things, but in everything, then that's the way we can preserve our hearts. Because out of our hearts proceed, it says, the issues of life. In Proverbs 4:23, in the Living Bible, above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. We are led astray in our hearts. And that's why Moses says, watch your hearts. In another place he says, watch your hearts. When you become wealthy, when you prosper, watch your heart. Don't think that my own hand has made all this wealth because I work so hard. And like some people say, I'm a self-made man. You know, it's because of my effort, because of my struggle, because of my, you know, frugality or whatever it is. You know, that's why I'm here. That's why I have it good today. We take no credit for it. Watch your heart, Moses says. Beware that your heart doesn't deceive you. Jeremiah says, you know, the heart is more deceitful than everything else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So we have to watch our hearts. We have to guard our hearts. And the only way we can do that is to let God put His laws into our minds and write them on our hearts. And that He has promised to do. You know, in Deuteronomy, go back there, verse 18. He says, you shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall teach them to your sons, to your children, talking to them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens remain upon the earth. Under the old covenant, God asked them to do all that. You know, write them on their doorposts and wear them as frontals on their foreheads, on their hands, to remind them. But under the new covenant, you know, praise God, it's better. God says, I will write them. I will put my laws into your minds. I will write them on your hearts. Oh, it takes the strain out, my brothers and sisters, when God does that and He puts His laws into your mind and my mind, when He writes His laws upon your heart and my heart, the strain goes out of our lives. That's the way that you and I can guard our hearts. You want to guard your heart in 2014? Let God put His laws into your mind. Write them on your heart. And He does it only through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who tells us, that's not the way. Why did you have to say that? Why did you have to speak like that? You would have said it better. Why? Where does that voice come from? Because God has put His law into your mind and my mind. God has put written His word upon our hearts. The Spirit tells us. And if I listen and cleanse myself, and if I have to repent and confess and humble myself, it will get better. Because that's the life that God has called us. God says then, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. I'd like you to look at it. Hebrews 8, verse 10. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. We don't need to just have plaques on the wall or on our way, you know, scripture verses on our vehicle. Okay, you want to have it, that's fine. But what about, is it in your heart? I can have Jesus loves you at the back of my vehicle on my car. But how do I react on the road? And somebody says, Jesus loves you. No, let's not deceive ourselves, my brothers and sisters. Let God put His laws in our mind. write them on our hearts. You want to keep them on your wall, you want to put them on your vehicles, that's fine, but let it be there first. Because then that will help me to be Christ-like. The last thing, the fourth, not the last, but the fourth thing, Deuteronomy chapter 11, in verse 22 to 25, you are careful to keep all these commandments I am commanding you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and hold fast to him, to love God. We let God put his laws into our minds and write his word on our hearts, and we have to love God with all our hearts and hold fast to him. Jesus warned that in the last days the love of many will grow cold. And he says the one who endures to the end in love will be saved. There's a man who heard Jesus preaching once, and he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And that's Matthew chapter 22. Verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." In the Living Bible, it says, "All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws and are fulfilled if you obey them. Keep only these, and you will find that you are obeying all the others." Isn't that wonderful? You've heard in this church, love God with all your heart and do what you like. Yes, love God with all your heart and do what you like. You say, "Brother Ian, how can that be? You'll never do anything that's displeasing to God if you love God with all your heart." I thank God that I'm a free man. I'm not bound. I don't get bound by... You know, we can have our CFC tradition. I love God with all my heart, and I do what I like. That's the life that God has called me and called you to live, my brothers and sisters. And the last thing I want you to see there, you know, in verses 23 to 25, the Lord says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, "The Lord will drive out all these nations from before you. You will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your border will be from the wilderness to Lebanon," and so on. "No man will be able to stand before you. The Lord your God will lay the dread of you and the fear of you on all the land on which you set foot, as he has spoken to you." God said to Joshua, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you." That is God's promise to us, my brothers and sisters. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear man. We don't have to fear the enemies which are in your flesh and mine. Because every one of them were defeated on the cross of Calvary. This is the path of blessing. This is the path of life. Peter says this. We are called to inherit this blessing. We are given exceeding great and precious promises whereby we become partakers of this life, partakers of the divine nature. This life that God has called us to. Precious and magnificent promises. That's how Peter describes it. That we can partake of the divine nature. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1. So, he says, Peter goes and says in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 8 to 12, to sum up, and I want to sum up. As we look at 2014, as we come to the end of this year, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. I tell you, when we stop putting a yoke upon others and we break every yoke, we will bless others, whoever it is. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit the blessing. Do you realize that? There's no curse under the old covenant. No ancestral curse. I don't care how my ancestors lived. That curse is broken on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's blessing. I'm called to inherit the blessing. That's what Peter says. You were called for the very purpose that you might inherit the blessing. That you can be a blessing, my brothers and sisters. Does that not excite you? That you can bless others. I don't have to curse them. And even those who do wrong and do me harm and evil and those who may speak about you and speak about your family, you can bless them because you're called to inherit the blessing. And he says further on in the same passage, the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord, there it is again, are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Isn't that wonderful that we can bless others? Will you determine in your heart this morning as we come to the end of the year, Lord, I'm going to break every yoke. And God has, I'm sure, in this meeting showed you on whom you have put that yoke on. First of all, get rid of it from your life. Because you can't break the yoke if it's not rid from your life first. Stop pointing the finger. Simple as that. Stop criticizing. Stop judging. Stop talking about other people's failures. I want to say you'll be a happy man, you'll be a happy woman. 2014, every day, and at the end of next year, that you can testify, I've been a happy man and a happy woman because I have broken every yoke. I've stopped pointing the finger at others. I've stopped gossiping about other people's failures and weaknesses. And it will be a glorious year. So maybe be all the more diligent, my brothers and sisters. God's eyes are upon this life that He's called you and me to partake of from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. What a life. I hope you've seen it this morning and be gripped with it. I guarantee you don't have to wish you a happy new year. It will be really a happy new year for you. A glorious, not just happy. This life that God has called us to inherit and partake of. He's called you for this very purpose, to inherit this blessing. Choose life that you may live. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you. We really thank you, and I thank you with all my heart for this life that you put in me, the life that you offer to us, and that many have partaken of. And Lord, we want not just to look forward to a year of happiness, but we want to look forward to a year where you'll fill our lives with your glory. And that glory will be manifested, Lord. We want to live a life where we drink from you continually of the water that never makes us thirst again. That becomes a well within us that springs up to everlasting life and that flows from our innermost being as a river. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that which has stopped that river from flowing, your Holy Spirit will break in the hearts of those who have carried a yoke that is not your yoke, Lord, and who are carrying burdens that is not your burden, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I want you to determine right now, in a moment of silence, the best time that we can really respond to what the Spirit is saying to the church is now. Not after the meeting, not when we go home, but now. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. I guarantee, my brother and sister, not on my word, but on God's word, your light will rise in the darkness in 2014. Your gloom will go away, it will disappear. Say, Lord, I break the yoke that I have allowed myself to me. I don't blame the devil, but I put a yoke on myself, Lord. This is not your yoke. I take it off and I break it. Because my eyes see you this morning. My eyes behold you, my teacher. And you show me the way, as you promised, that I'll hear a word behind my ear saying, this is the way, walk in it.
when you turn to the right and left. And so I break this yoke, Lord, and break everything that has hindered the river from flowing from my life. I want you to do that and say, Lord, the years I've been in this church, I've lived by rules and commandments and put that burden upon others. I determined to break that yoke this morning. And I turn to you. And I break the yoke that I've put upon my dearest and my loved ones. Lord, I mean it. I'm not just saying words here, but I want to break that yoke, Lord, that I put upon my wife, I put upon my husband and my children. In Jesus' name, I break it. And go out from here, a free man, a free woman, into a life, a glorious life, that you will continually water and your eyes will be upon it, Lord. Right from the beginning of the year that I am entering into to the end of the year. All the days of my life upon this earth. Lord Jesus, I believe you've heard us this morning and I believe that you will give us more of your Spirit. And I want to say to those of you, you've never received the assurance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 2013. Will you cry out to him now? Say, Lord, I'm not even going to wait till 31st, right now. I'm desperate, Lord, because I cannot break this yoke unless you give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord Jesus, cry to your heart. Pray this prayer right now in your seat. Lord Jesus, I've doubted you. I've struggled and it's been very burdensome. But I really want this life and I ask you right now, baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. I've repented of all my sins. I believe you've forgiven me. And I release others as you have released me. And right now, baptize me. Immerse me in the Holy Spirit and fire. Let the Spirit of God come upon me this morning, changing me, making me into another man and another woman. And you children, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Make me into another boy, into another girl. I want to live for you, Lord. I want to bless others in these closing days of time. And just say, thank you, Lord. I've asked you. Thank you. Thank you because you said those who ask will receive and I believe I've received. Lead me on from here. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.